Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Juneau broke its local record for snowiest March on Sunday, with almost 64 inches, and now the capital city is just over an inch away from beating its winter snowfall record. That's after a data correlation lag in a national database moved the goalposts by a few inches. The actual snowfall record is the winter of 2006 and 7, at nearly 198 inches. But the national database logged the record as the winter of 1964 and 65. The discrepancy is because there were several inches missing from the 07 to 06 winter. Aaron Jacobs is a senior service hydrologist at the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the local forecast office has been working for years to make the correction with the division of NOAA that manages the data. Jacobs says that human errors happen from time to time. Snowfall is recorded daily by a weather observer at the airport.
We need a human to actually take that information. And so there's not very many climate records for snow across the region.
He says it's taken so long to correct the record because the Weather Service didn't receive the right values from the airport observer on an official form.
That was the hang-up, essentially, was that we didn't have the official paper from the airport observer.
The observer had logged trace amounts of snowfall for some dates in February 2007. But meteorologists at the time knew measurable snow had fallen, spoke with the observer, and corrected the values. The correction in the national database is underway now and should be reflected soon. Meteorologists expect Juneau will break the winter snowfall record any day now. Snowfall has been measured most consistently at the airport since 1943, which is why the Weather Service uses the station as the official climate site for Juneau. But other parts of town with shorter or more spotty historical records have shattered the airport record in the past. For instance, downtown Juneau reached just over 246 inches in the winter of 1917 to 1918. That was before the airport weather station was set up. The Juneau School District has reached a tentative agreement on a contract with its teachers union. This comes after more than a year of negotiations that escalated to a successful vote authorizing the union to strike last week. The two-year agreement covers the school year and the next. In a joint press release, Juneau Education Association President Jeanette Sleppy said she's grateful to all parties involved. Juneau School Board President Brittany Choney Haywood said in the press release that the board looks forward to the agreement coming before the board for approval. Now the agreement is waiting ratification from the union, which includes about 275 people. It will require the majority of voters to approve the ratification. A representative with the union said in a text to KTOO that that is not expected to happen until after the district's spring break this week. After that, it will head to the school board, which will require two meetings before a vote of approval. The terms of the agreement will be in the meeting packet of the next school board meeting following union ratification. And the U.S. Forest Service is planning to hold a virtual meeting this week for residents across Southeast Alaska to share feedback on a revised Tongass National Forest Management Plan. The plan will set the agency's priorities for the forest over the next decade or so. The virtual town hall is on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. The online opportunity is in addition to in-person public meetings the agency announced earlier this month. Those opportunities to share feedback are planned from the end of March through early May and will take place in Juneau, Haines, Skagway, and 15 other Southeast communities. Forest plans are typically updated every 10 to 15 years, and the last one for the Tongass was completed in 2016. The plan will influence how the Forest Service balances a range of forest uses, including logging, recreation, tourism, subsistence harvest, and ecosystem health. Go to the story on KTOO.org to find the link for Wednesday's virtual meeting and the schedule and location details for the in-person meetings. 10 Juneau high school students gained real-world home-building experience and some much-needed vitamin D earlier this month during a school district trip to Maui, Hawaii. There, students spent several days rebuilding homes destroyed by the wildfires that devastated the town of Lahaina in 2023. The school district's house build program teaches hands-on construction skills by building new, energy-efficient homes in Juneau. Students enrolled in the program are eligible to join the annual Habitat for Humanity build trip in Hawaii. Jace Kilmeyer is a senior at Juneau Douglas High School Yeda'a Kahle and a house build student. Kilmeyer says this year was his second trip at the program.
I feel like it has a positive impact because you're learning, but also it's always nice and it feels fulfilling to know that you are helping a community or helping someone out, which can have a positive effect on your mental state.
Andy Bullock teaches the program and has brought dozens of students over the past decade on the trip. He says the homes the students worked on were originally built by other students in 2019 and 2020. However, those homes burned down during the 2023 wildfires. Bullock says though the opportunity came from tragedy, he and the students had a great time rebuilding the homes and connecting with the community.
the bigger deal is just the inspiration for these kids to go somewhere cool, to meet new people, to see different cultures, to go on a really amazing trip and to meet people, to understand the need for affordable housing for people, and then to be able to actively help address that need while having a good time.
The students helped hang drywall and install siding. But in their free time, they hit the beach to snorkel and took a whale watching trip. The students returned to Juneau before recent storms hit Hawaii, causing historic flooding in parts of the islands. But Bullock said the homes they worked on are not being impacted. And last month, the Southeast Alaska Cities Against Drugs Task Force, or CCAD, arrested a Juneau man and found about $160,000 worth of controlled substances at his residence, most of which was fentanyl. KTOO's Mike Lane recently sat down with Juneau Police Commander Matt Dubois, who oversees many aspects of CCAD, to learn about the case.
Recently, there was a JPD information release regarding the arrest of an individual in late February that led to the discovery of more than $150,000 worth of drugs, and $100,000 in cash was seized as well. Is that considered a significant bust to you guys?
To me, I would consider that fairly significant. Just the amount of the street value of the drugs and the amount of drugs that were seized. And then also the money that's, you know, tied with it. I mean, that's obviously, you know, not personal use. So that was drugs that were seized that I believe was intended to distribute within our community and with our outlying communities as well, possibly. And so for me, that amount of drugs was significant because it, you know, it took it off the streets where it wouldn't be in the hands of other people.
This bust, how does that compare to other busts that have happened in Juneau or throughout the region for CCAD?
Well, our main mission is ultimately about protecting families and the community, the communities within our region, within Southeast. And drug trafficking brings violence, addiction, and other crimes with it. And by targeting these networks early, we help keep Southeast Alaska safer. And CCAD really focuses on identifying and disrupting those supply networks before they can do more harm in our communities. So typically, for the most part, you're going to see like larger quantities. You know, these are quantities that are, again, not for personal use. Recently, in the last few months, CCAD did an investigation where we seized, if my recollection was right, approximately 4 pounds of methamphetamine in Ketchikan. And then there was, I don't remember the weights exactly, but there was a significant amount as it relates to the community of Wrangell. When I stepped in, my goal for the team was like, let's try to get a case in every one of these cities, you know, to help these communities. And that's a strength of CCAD is the task force is when you bring together partnerships and sharing intel, we're able to do more work in bigger cases that like one police department wouldn't be able to do by themselves. Especially now today with like short staffing issues across law enforcement in the country. When we come together as a task force, we're stronger in numbers and we're stronger when you share information. And that's kind of a big strength of ours.
Must take an incredible amount of patience when you're doing these sorts of investigations as well, huh?
It does. Very much so, and it's just generally speaking about investigation isn't just something that like we found out about yesterday. These are long, lots of time dedicated to investigate, to digest the intel, to put the pieces together, and to make it a strong case, and right, to make it a good case to present to prosecution.
Is there anything that community members, residents in Juneau or Ketchikan or throughout Southeast can do to help with the job that CCAD does?
Yes. So we always want to remind people that community tips matter. When residents speak up and share concerns with their local departments, that information often helps us start or strengthen our investigations. You may not get like feedback right away because there could be an open investigation. You know, it could be the piece of the puzzle that really like paints the picture for us. And so anytime that anybody has any information, no matter how little or how big, we ask that you get a hold of us. And then also here locally, we have Juneau Crime Line. That's a nonprofit organization that takes anonymous tips and passes it on. You can also, you know, call the police department directly and talk to our drug enforcement unit, our CCAD task force members. But yeah, I mean, we ask for people to come forward with any information. They can remain anonymous, but it helps. And again, in partnership with our citizens makes our community safer places to live. So,
Commander Matt Dubois, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
That was KTOO's Mike Lane speaking with Juneau Police Commander Matt Dubois about Southeast Alaska Cities Against Drugs, or CCAD, and a recent arrest it made in Juneau. And the U.S. Interior Department held its second round of tribal consultations on subsistence hunting and fishing on federal land this week. Tribal leaders were invited to attend the meeting at the agency's Fish and Wildlife Service headquarters in Anchorage, or online. The gatherings, which have been closed to the public, gave tribal and Alaska Native corporation leaders a chance to question the Interior Department about a Safari Club International petition to reform federal subsistence management. The Alaska Federation of Natives is among dozens of organizations fighting the proposals, which call for eliminating public and private seats on the Federal Subsistence Board and limiting them to the heads of five federal agencies. AFN co-chair Gail Hossett says tribes fear this would result in poor decision-making because federal managers are not from Alaska and rotate in and out of the state.
How is that one person coming from the lower 48 going to understand certain areas around Alaska, the landscape, the snow conditions, the water conditions? What is life like out there? What does a wildlife population look like? How hard is it to harvest moose? Harvesting moose is easy in some areas and really hard with different terrain in different parts of Alaska.
The Interior Department is taking public comments on the Safari Club proposals until March 30th. The period was extended in February after complaints that more time was needed. Nathan McCowan, president of the St. George Village Corporation, is pushing for another extension.
Subsistence is a complex issue. It's been a complex issue. It will remain a complex issue. And swift action on this could create unintended consequences that everybody wants to avoid.
The Safari Club says its proposals would streamline wildlife management and give more authority to the state. Opponents say they threaten the rural subsistence priority guaranteed under federal law. If the Interior Department decides to consider the Safari Club's petition, a rulemaking process would begin, as well as another round of public comment. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 29 degrees and snowing. The National Weather Service says another 1 to 3 inches are possible this evening. And there is a wind advisory in effect starting tomorrow afternoon until Wednesday morning. It looks like tomorrow and the rest of the week will dry up and they might be even sunny. This is KTOO.